is the Bachelor Masters back at ya after the long and arduous 6-day hiatus since last season. Bachelor in Paradise, everyone's favorite entry into the Bachelor franchise. Easier, I know you have lots of notes on what we just saw. I know I do.
I feel like it's more like the leftovers than the playoffs. I know I've heard that a lot. That it is everyone's favorite, but you're not seeing Tyler and Hannah's date. These are definitely the rejects, which is fun.
I feel like they're baiting us, and by baiting us, I mean baiting me, because they know I'm going to support Blake in all this. It's like they've listened to our podcast over the years, and they're like, we're going to troll Craig with Blake.
I don't think they're thinking of you, but...
No, probably not. Now, we did promise change at the end of last podcast, and we have change. Mm-hmm. We have a new member of the Bachelor Masters pantheon of on-air personalities. Of course, there's Chris, co-host Chris. There's Mark, who we affectionately call the fourth Bachelor Master. And now, sitting in the third chair, and EZR, you're going to love this. Presently in New York City, Caitlin.
Yeah. Hi, y'all.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. This is my first time watching Bachelor in Paradise, and I am really liking it so far.
That's great to hear. The podcast kind of started years ago under the sort of premise that somebody vis-a-vis Chris would be new to the franchise, but totally invested. And having known you, I know that that seems to be the case with you as well.
Yeah. I just started watching about a year or so ago. So I've seen Colton's season and Hannah's season. And now this is my first Paradise.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that neat?
Finally fulfilling the mission again.
Yeah. The prophecy.
Exciting.
This opens up a whole new market. I mean, I think of Bachelor Masters as sort of being a West Coast podcast, not for any particular reason other than we live tweet from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot of our people that interact with us on social media are on the West Coast, but holy cow, you're in the number one media market in the world.
Well, I'm not here all the time. Actually, my parents live in New York City, which is why I'm here right now. I generally am in Washington, D.C.
Hey, even
still
better.
West Coast.
We have these segments. We thought we'd incorporate them more with more structure, but we never really did. But we do have the fashion roundup usually at the end of each episode. And we have these little jiggle drops for them. We could do a little like report from Washington, D.C., where you give us the barometer of the political scene.
Oh, boy.
Do you go to the Hill? I mean, is that a thing people that live in Washington do?
I was going to say not that often. I feel like I spend more of my time because I technically live in Metro D.C., so I'm out in the Maryland suburbs, but on the metro still. If I'm in D.C. proper, I'm usually not at the Hill. I'm more like around like Adams Morgan, Colorama, Brooklyn, like sort of more of the northwesty quadrant of the city.
I've been to Washington, but I don't know those neighborhoods. This is all new to me.
I only know because I have a friend that works in, or that's family works in intelligence out there. And I can't know too much other than that. It's so weird how that 3-hour delay, I know 1 week or like 2 weeks, Craig, I don't remember, but I was in Hawaii. And that 1-hour delay from the West Coast made a huge difference to what I know and didn't know, to what I was, who I was interacting, what I saw online. And I was super annoyed. I'm like, why can't I just watch some other 4 p.m. feed if I'm going to watch a 4-hour delay? So it's weirdly, it's still an archaic, like it's very archaic kind of world still. Game of Thrones things got it right. They aired the same show at the same time for the world.
Saturday Night Live as well. They figured it out finally after all these years. They play it live at 8:30, 8, and then they'll repeat it at the 11 o'clock slot. It's like it only took them 30 years or whatever to figure that one out. Do you feel ahead of the game out there? You're 3 hours ahead?
You don't feel it when you're on top. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But also because I usually watch it the day after it airs instead of live, just because I'm going to sound like one of those people, but I don't have a TV, you know?
Right.
which is like more a matter of being cheap and watching things on my computer instead.
So do you have Hulu?
I have Hulu, and that's generally how I've been watching.
Okay. I forgot to ask that, because Hulu is our unofficial sponsor, which is to say that we usually, I don't have it on right now. Easier, do you have?
Yes,
we usually play the episode back while we're recording, just in case we like lose focus. It's a good...
running over logistics here, Craig.
Yeah. This is how to make a podcast. Okay, a couple more questions. Usually we have this back channel, this little chat, and it's usually you, me, EZR, Chris, and sometimes Mark. But Caitlin, you being 3 hours ahead really has made me have to think about how to interact with this group text. I can't just roll over at 10 p.m. and text something that's on my mind. Like last night when I was watching the episode, I was having to be cognizant that it's 2 a.m. for you when I had some when I wanted to say something witty on the group chat.
Yeah, I was gonna say I actually mute my texts at night because I have like a group text with a bunch of friends where we're all in different time zones and none of us can like remember that that's a thing.
Oh, this is great. Okay, that's
so yeah, it's fine to
text
do.
Away.
Yeah, I'm gonna be texted. Okay, you're gonna wake up unmute. I don't know if it unmutes automatically, but you're gonna get all these dings probably from now on. That's great. Well, the rest of the world uses WhatsApp, right? And then you're really jamming because you have people from all over the world. Let's see. What do we got here? Stagecoach. If you're single and you don't have tickets to Stagecoach yet, what are you waiting for?
Okay. Stagecoach is actually the week after Coachella. So now Coachella is two weekends long just because they can. They can make the money off of it. People stay in this little desert area in early spring. But Stagecoach is the country...
You wear Western stuff and they have country bands, right?
Yeah, but it's not country bands. It's like Jed Wyatt's, a bunch of them. So like singer-songwriter style, not festival fun style. I don't know why anyone would go to this. And maybe this is brought to you by, you know, Stagecoach, this whole season of Bachelor in Paradise. Because that is not a well-selling, well-attended. It's kind of like the hangover of Coachella.
Sure.
It's just stick around and just want to keep doing drugs. But you'd want to go to a festival and don't care about the music at all.
Yeah. Well, the young folk don't do drugs as much as us older folk did. I've Instagrammed or DM'd with some younger folks I know that go to Coachella and stuff, and they're like, oh, no, we're just drinking, which, of course, is a drug. But
I think you're thinking of there's this middle ground. Yes, you're right, in a way. But then the younger people kind of do things like Molly and think that's okay.
Molly.
The drugs are much more contained now. They're not like, what's going to happen to me?
Just have to say, I feel like them renaming ecstasy to Molly is like rewriting my history. It's the same thing, but it's like, I can't just go around talking about all the fun I had taking ecstasy because now it's called Molly and I don't sound hip or something.
It's like a generational marker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Festival hookups are a thing and they always will be a thing. I don't see the problem here. Then you think of the bar culture, which is every night or every weekend or for a lot of people, and they're hooking up. And also with this Blake thing, I've said this before, if guys just kept their mouth shut, they'd probably get away with a lot more. The only reason that they know about this back-to-back night thing is that he told them, because that's why he keeps like crying about how he did the right thing. And of course, EZR, you came out, you showed the text, he leaked the text that showed that Caitlin was actually the one that wanted to stay friends and all this.
If we're going to go right into Blake, out of order, Craig, but...
Sorry, I tend to do that.
I'm very chronological, or at least grouped into people. So
Stagecoach happened half a year ago, so it is first in the chronological order.
Fine. He had 2 one-night stands back-to-back with 2 consenting adults. And by the text that I actually posted, the 2 most important texts on the Instagram, if anyone wants to check it out, it has Caitlin saying, what's the big deal? Yes, we're just going to hook up. Don't worry about it. I would not trust Caitlin with anything. I wouldn't. Don't ever trust this woman.
She's kind of a monster, right?
She is. Also, if we're going to not give Blake a 100% pass, which I wouldn't, he should know that one-night stands do kind of have consequences, intentional or not. So I think that it's a good teaching moment for him. But
it's a teachable moment.
Yeah, teaching yeah. moment, teachable moment.
We all know the Bachelor franchise is full of those.
Well, it's good for them. I think it teaches them something more than it teaches us something. But here's where I think the kind of like the, you know, wrench in his plans is too. Christina, yes. We know she's had a bad childhood. She has extreme trauma in her life. She seems like someone who would get easily attached if you have a quasi relationship with her. So it yes. seems super convenient that producers would manipulate Christina and say, what happened? Oh, that's what happened. Save it for Paradise.
Right.
And push her in there to kind of screw everything up. So I think she's the catalyst here.
Yeah, that's a great point. Although I don't feel too bad for her because she has... As a influencer, and she travels the world now.
Yeah, but a rich, traumatized
person. It's still a traumatized.
Traumatized okay. person. So right. I, not that I feel bad for her, but I feel like if producers are just using her for when they could use her, like, you know, go out and hook up, come back to Bachelor in Paradise and see what you can stir up.
Or, go out and hook
you know,
up.
Telling her, yeah.
Caitlin, you're new to the Caitlin, show, yes. newer to the show.
What do you
and
do?
You missed Kristen's introduction. Everyone, when they go on the show, has a story that they tell at some critical point in the season. And hers was that she grew up in poverty in Soviet Russia. And
what is that?
Remember she had to eat lipstick?
Yes, she had to eat lipstick as a child because she was so hungry.
Oh, wow.
And her mom's like, you either go to the United States or you become a prostitute. So she found her way to the United States and this seems to
have got adopted.
Got adopted. He also missed Dean, which was, he's a really good looking guy, but he has no upper lip.
He'll be on the show soon. The point is that she had a horrible, like a Romanian orphanage childhood and then got adopted at a conscious age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had a seemingly normal life. And then all her traumas always come out when men reject her because
she gives them multiple chances. So what's your impression of Christina here, Caitlin?
I really liked her right away. I think it was towards the end of that first episode when she came in and everyone was like, oh, my God, is she going to ask Blake on this date? And why would she do that? Is she into him? Like, what's going on? And then that part where she's like, I'm going to make Blake my bitch. I was like, I like this. I'm into this.
I don't know if she was successful in making Blake her bitch, but there's still lots of show left.
Yeah. I don't think it went the way that she was probably hoping it would go. Yeah. But I did really like the sentiment of being like, this guy hurt my feelings. And now I'm just going to like try to fuck with him a little.
It's tough to really get your argument through when you're sitting awkwardly on a bench that they have to sit in that orientation for the camera. You got to scream at each other and stuff to do when you're 45 degrees tilted towards the camera. Now, you're out on the East Coast. You're in New York City right now. Hookup culture is different in New York City than it is here on the left coast. Am I right?
I'm not sure. So I grew up in New York and did my undergrad in New York. And I feel like hookup culture seems really similar to The Bachelor in Paradise, honestly, in my memories, being in my early 20s. You kind of know all the same people, even though it's a gigantic city. So everyone will know if you've hooked up with somebody else in like that large crowd.
I think in L.A., there's sort of the assumption that you can get lost or blend in with the city because it's huge geographically. So if you screw up royally with someone, you can always just start a new somewhere else. It's like, wow, I really effed over Hollywood. Now I'm going to go to Eagle Rock or something. But it's interesting to hear you say that you have a circle in New York and then things kind of spread. Because that's the sense I get by watching something like Sex in the City, which is really my, you know, that and Friends and I guess Seinfeld are really my into New York City culture.
Yeah, I do feel like it's really common. If you meet somebody in a bar, it'll turn out that like you actually have 12 friends in common or that like your cousin used to date them or something.
See, I would like that because that was always something that frustrated me when I was single and I was a bachelor in L.A. It was just difficult to meet people because even if you went out with somebody, it was very rare that you would run into somebody that you knew. And so it's hard to enter into another circle of friends. So what do you think of this whole Blake thing?
I'm sort of several minds at this point. He didn't do anything wrong per se, but it is a little shady. It all seems like they kind of vaguely know each other, even if they don't know each other.
Yeah.
So, like, thinking that that would not necessarily cause hurt feelings is, well, obviously it's going to, because they're all going to talk to each other at some point.
Yeah,
and it seems like they all, like, had conversations a week or two before coming on the show to be like, hey, remember when we all hooked up at the same time at Stagecoach? Which seems kind of interesting that had these texts or whatever about it, but then still had the in-person conversations on camera.
It's kind of like a car race where they have to do all the qualifying first to figure out the order of the car race. And then they have the car race. So it's like they're all jockeying for position over text in the weeks leading up.
They do know each other because they've all seen each other on TV. I think if you already have been on The Bachelor and you see someone that you like, you can easily DM them or whatever.
It's the perfect thing.
Right. It's a small community that's very popular. So it is like high school to them or whatever. But I like that. Before we move on from Blake, I like that he came in totally in charge. So, and he was going to take his time and date Tayshia and then end up with Hannah. But I like how at the end he was like, never mind, screw the plan. Yeah. Hannah, let's just make out. Forget all my like slow burn thing. I am going to just go for you because that was the plan all along. And he's just super desperate mode. And I think that's a bad look, although Hannah doesn't seem to care.
I have a couple of things to say about Hannah. She is easy to convince.
Yeah.
All it takes is one compliment and then you're making out. I'm not coming out and saying she's easy. That would be inappropriate to say because it's just making out. But all it took was one compliment and then they're making out.
I think that's why they didn't pick her for Bachelorette, because she said it herself. She's such a people pleaser. She doesn't have that much of a personality, unfortunately.
you don't say.
You know, it's not a bad, it's not like... She just seems like a nice girl. I'm not trying to say anything bad about her, but she's not a Bachelorette-like material.
Right.
And I think a lot of these guys would have loved to have been her to have been the Bachelorette. Like Dylan probably wanted Hannah G and not Hannah B, but got Hannah B.
I got a couple things to say about Dylan.
Yeah, I do too. But finish up Blake here.
Okay.
I like the way he knew already that the extreme bullying was coming. So he knows how the Bachelor works. I think much like Luke P, that when you look bad on the Bachelor shows, you are like, you better go in hiding. He said that. And so how cutthroat, it just seems totally horrible for me. Okay, here's my question about Blake to both of you before we move on.
Okay.
Remember, Craig, when we were saying that, or you were telling me actually, that there's some parties you go to and if you wear green, then that means you're available. And if you are red, you're not. This is what Bachelor in Paradise seems like, right? They're like, no more hookup culture at this place.
Right.
Except this is marriage. This is, marriage. Get married. Get married camp.
Day one and two is you're here for the right reasons. And day three is you have an open mind and you're trying to meet a lot of people.
Right. You're eventually trying to get married. Like you're trying to sift through the sand to get to the gold or something. You know, maybe I'll hook up, but then I'll get to the right person by the end of this. So Blake was hooking up for like a year, getting that out of his system, in quotes, after Becca. And now he's here, probably to get married. Like, is that the point? Because everyone seems to be like, yeah, I'll hook up. But then at the end of this, I hope to walk away engaged.
Well, I have an answer to your question, but then I want to hear what Caitlin's answer to your question is. Even though you didn't actually ask a question, I'm going to jump in and answer it anyway. I think going to Bachelor Paradise is as much about finding a future wife as going to a Stagecoach is about finding a future wife. There. How's that?
Yeah, I didn't watch Blake on his other show, so I don't know as much about like his personality and his background, but my assumption is that he's not there to get married. He still very much seems in this mode of like he wants to meet people and hook up with them, and like maybe that'll be a more serious relationship thing, but not necessarily like engagement and marriage.
The Bachelor franchise has never been really about marriage. That's the never-ending quest, is to truly figure out what the show's about. And we tune in because it's, I don't know, it's fun watching people hook up and get mad at each other and all those kinds of stuff like that. I mean, look, Carly and Evan actually do get married, and we think they're gross and laugh at them.
Annalise and Chris are the new Carly and Evan, by the way.
We make fun of Jade and Tanner. I mean, it's like we actually are making fun as a community of the people who were there for the right reasons.
Yeah, but don't you think that showing up in paradise might be the wearing green, the, you know, I'm here to get married on TV. This is my second chance at fame slash, if you do it on Bachelor in Paradise, you're that much more likely to be famous for it.
Sure. But no one's there to get married.
Well, that's the way it feels. It feels like they're all down there to, yeah, it is definitely second chance at fame. You could get cut. You just might want to, but you don't want to hook up on camera, like for a one night stand or for a few nights. Like that's not the point either. I think the point is to get famous again, right? Your second chance at fame. And then number two is to, if you walk away with a happy ending that the world saw, then you get a sponsored wedding. And you get to be followed for the rest of your life. So it's somewhere there, I think.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that if Blake showed up, does that mean he wants to continue hooking up? Or does that mean he wants to put the hookup culture in the past and now he's here for the real thing?
So Caitlin, does Blake want to continue hooking up or is he here for the real thing?
I think Blake wants to hook up with a purpose. Just like he definitely wants to make out with all of these girls and then maybe end up with one of them, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. When I was young and maybe
Craig,
what? I'm what?
About how he wishes he could have made it on Bachelor in Paradise.
No.
Without cameras, though.
Yeah, I'm very happy social media was not around when I was young. But when I was young and would have something like a one night stand, I had a low retention rate, which means I would have like a one night stand and then not necessarily have a second night stand with the same person. That wasn't something
that's
I was very good at.
That's the definition of a one night stand.
Well, some guys, homo, hetero, cis, male, female, would collect people, right? You'd have a one night stand here, you'd have a one night stand there, and then you would retain those people as booty calls.
Use your 90s lingo.
Yeah. See, I was bad at that. And I actually would get very lonely. Tonight, I would really like to just hang out with someone. And I didn't have anyone to call. That's my pity story.
Poor Craig. Craig.
Maybe that's kind of what we're playing. He's done the stagecoach, and now he wants to move on to the next stage, which is a collection of booty call friends with benefits, people he can hang out with.
How many of the people from the Bachelor world were at Stagecoach that year? Because I think they mentioned like Tayshia was there too. And I was like, were they all there? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know, except that I follow some of them on Instagram. So I see their pictures and there was a good group and you kind of had to, I don't know what the tags are always. So you kind of look, you're like, oh, there's that guy and that guy and that guy. So I guess they just, you know, I think we're saying brought to you by Stagecoach Festival. Yeah.
They all get a sponsored trip. All the reality people do. Bravo. I'm a big fan of those shows. They all get a ticket and they go. And I think the deal is you take a few glossy photos, promote whatever area you're in, and then you get to party that night. But I don't get the sense that they get totally wrecked. I think they stay relatively sober throughout the night because they take photos.
Right. Yeah. So all the leftover stuff from Coachella is there. So if you've ever seen, like, it's all very Instagram friendly on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big Ferris wheel, a lot of art installations, but country versions. I don't know. They put a little hat on them. I don't know, like, what they do. But it's appealing to country fans. So that's why a lot of people from here never go, as far as I know.
Desert parties are good in theory. I mean, if you have a connection to Palm Springs or Palm Desert, somebody with a condo that you can crash at, that's the way to do it. Because you're glamping. Desert parties are really cool in theory. You take mushrooms or something, you're having a great time, it's night, and then morning rolls around. As soon as that sun hits, it's just like hell on earth.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're dusty and gross.
If we're going to Bachelor Masters this, I have something to say about Indio and Coachella. Coachella is actually a city too. This is a relatively poor desert town, depressed. And until the first Coachella rolled, until the fifth Coachella rolled around in the early 2000s, there was not much going on there. And some people, you know, credit a lot of boom, you know, a boom to the city because of Coachella. And it was a really depressed area. But then when the Airbnbs started coming out and I think it's AIG, they completely kind of top down gentrified certain areas of the city. So now people are buying real estate there in a poor area to Airbnb for just 3 weekends a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's a really bad situation. I have a few friends who've had to move out to the desert for reasons like this, for, you know, poverty reasons. And then, and now they have a lot of issues with Coachella, with the trash, with the partying, even things like people from, you know, people from LA will go out there just to be the Uber. So traffic during those, that month is really bad. If you're a party destination area, you're going to get a lot of incidents, robberies, everything that you can imagine. Mm-hmm.
We differ slightly because I look at that and I say, okay, there's an economic driver 3 weeks out of the year that produces trash and traffic.
Well, it's not just trash and traffic, though. It's a lot of displacement. Imagine these kids with really poor people.
And by poor people, I think you're describing the service workers for places like Palm Springs and Palm Desert and the golf courses.
No, I'm talking correct? About the residents, too.
The residents, but what's their jobs? Is their jobs going and working? There's like 900 golf courses in that area.
Also, right? Migrant workers. Like, there's a lot of issues there that I want to make sure that we talk about. This is not Burning Man, where you go to a completely
literally in the middle
isolated,
of nowhere. Yes.
Right. That's completely isolated. This is a place where people have always lived, and then it got taken over by a it's not economic stimulus. It's their own stimulus. They bring their own food. They bring their own everything. They bring their own camping. They build their own houses. This is, I'm saying they, rich group.
Right. Promoters.
They're not going to the local thing and bringing economic stimulus. The only economic stimulus is maybe government. But that doesn't always flow back to them.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Well, Caitlin, I mean, as somebody who doesn't frequent the area, I don't imagine that these narratives that EZR is describing come through the Instagram posts that people are putting from Coachella and Stagecoach.
The things that I'm aware of around Coachella and Stagecoach are just pictures of people wearing festival outfits, and that's kind of it.
There's a whole cottage industry for festival outfits too. They're called rave stores, right? When we were young, rave was kind of like a word you didn't want to say out loud, right? Because it's still underground. But now they have stores called rave. Get your rave outfits here. But they mean rave different than we meant rave.
I'm glad we're talking about kind of 90s culture things here, because remember in the 90s when there was like interactive shows, you know, you had to get like this Doritos bag and you pull out the little pog and then you get to match it up to what happens. Do you guys remember stuff like this?
Or you get, do not. Like,
no? you get like, you have to go to the 7-Eleven and get this scratcher. So when the show tells you, you scratch it off.
Fox, which was new at the time, the Fox Network.
Uh-huh. New at the time? Holy
crap. I was new too. Newer. They had this thing where for a whole week, all their top shows did 3D versions of their show. So you went to 7-Eleven and you would get the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
So I remember American Children had a really good one. And then remember when McDonald's sent everyone records?
Yeah.
Come on, someone's got to remember this. Caitlin, help me out here.
No, I do not remember that at all.
So they had the song, which went, dun, 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 Big Mac, BLT, Quarter Pounder with some cheese, Filet Fish, Hamburger, Cheeseburger, Happy Meal, McDonald's, Tasty Golden French Fries, Regular, Larger Size, blah, blah. You can see it's ingrained in my, they brought it back last year. I remember there was a commercial or two where they kind of brought it back, but they had this whole push where every commercial was a McDonald's commercial with this song. It had all these celebrities that would come into a McDonald's and sing the song. And then they sent, we all got records sent to us, and you put them on the record player, and it was the song.
Okay. Oh, my God. Well, my point with bringing this up, Craig, is that now I don't know what to say to that.
Caitlin, where did you grow up?
So I grew up about 45 minutes north of New York City.
Oh.
Westchester County.
Westchester County. And you didn't get a record from McDonald's.
I did not ever get a record from McDonald's, but I think I'm too young for this, honestly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, is your point?
Wait. My point is that, now you kind of have to be, well, kind of back to the Blake thing, you kind of have to be online to hear the full story. So my point is that the interactiveness of shows is back, like in the 90s. if you don't know the Blake story, then you're not getting, if you're not on Instagram and Twitter, you don't get the full story because they're all live commenting. And I don't know. I thought that was interesting because we're, everyone's obsessed with the 90s. So it's funny how we're upgrading it.
We're at the point where there's augmented reality apps and things like that. So when you go to something, it and not just at party things, you know, museums and stuff like that, right?
It's not as deep as I thought it was feeling, but then I realized that I just want to make sure that Blake gets his story out. Maybe that's my point. I want to make sure that we're not just looking at Caitlin's side. Anyways, okay,
back to the show. So you see what they did here? So, Caitlin, we spent all last season here on the podcast supporting, I wouldn't say supporting, but trying to be thoughtful with Luke P. EZR did a lot of work on the podcast trying to really make sense of Luke. See how they're trolling us, though? We're going to come out with Blake, and maybe Bachelor Nation is going to be on the side of Blake after all. I think Caitlin, who I've always been against, I can honestly say, day one, no Caitlin. She's going to be the bad guy in the end of all this.
I'm annoyed that there's always constant forgiveness for her. There's always a Caitlin apologist out there.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about Caitlin, Caitlin? I think that's what her mom was going for, Caitlin, but then just messed it up completely.
It's a creative version of Caitlin, I think. I don't know. When I saw her on Colton season, I was sort of like, oh, she seems fine. Like, I didn't have negative feelings about her, really. Because I did like her talking about her sexual assault on TV. I thought that was really cool. But I didn't really understand what was going on with her and Hannah B on that season either, where they were talking about their like pageant rivalry stuff. We never really heard what the story was on the actual show, I think.
Right.
You have like, they don't like each other. Now they're fine, I guess.
Well, it's been common for someone who is going to be the bachelor, bachelorette, to give a kind of sob story, whatever that is, to they have this character arc. By the second date, they tell the story, and it just happened to have been that way. Now, we thought that what she did was very strategic because she was trying to be the bachelorette. And then it becomes that she did actually say she was trying to be the bachelorette.
I say, I feel mostly neutral about Caitlin, but I do not like her play for Cam in the second episode because it feels very opportunistic.
I mean, the whole Bachelor in Paradise thing is so complicated. I mean, they had Chris Harrison comes out and says, yo, there's a rose ceremony tonight. You have to do the work. Those were his words. You have to do the work. It's kind of a creepy way of saying, if you don't think you're going to get a rose, go make out with somebody, which is, it's reduction from some of the progress that the show has made over the last couple of years, including allowing people to tell their sexual assault story or narrative.
Yeah, that was kind of off, huh? He goes, I see a lot of smiles, but don't keep smiling because you guys are going to have to all make out with someone if you think you're even sticking around any longer. Dang.
Yeah. And of course, Annalise, Annalise is, it's just playing to that.
Desperation, right?
Yeah, it's so gross.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty gross. You're right. So last year, I'm sure you've heard about it, Caitlin, but there was a sexual assault, a perceived sexual assault that had to stop production for a few weeks. They had to address sexual assault and discuss racial issues too, because it happened to be African-American male with a Caucasian female. So it was a big deal. But like Craig said, here we are back to whatever again, if he's going to come in and make a statement like that, which I thought was like kind of off anyway. You know, we're all like, what? Who would say that?
Yeah. So do any of you watch Love Island?
Ah, see, we made it almost through one episode without talking about Love Island. So Caitlin, so Chris, co-host Chris, he was a big fan of Love Island. And him and EZR would go on these long tangents about Love Island. So there's a little background.
Right. So I've only seen the British version. I haven't seen the American
one. I know. And I was really excited for the American version that premiered here recently. There's billboards all over LA. And I even speculated on air here that it was maybe going to be a big deal and maybe push The Bachelor in certain directions. But I watched the first few episodes of the American version. I just feel like it kind of fell flat.
I think it's like we said that, you know, Americans don't watch TV the way Europe does. So it'd be a hard sell to put something on every night.
And right. But that doesn't mean that it won't move the Bachelor, the Overton window of the Bachelor.
Well, I totally hijacked. Caitlin, you were going to say something about before I jumped in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just started watching Love Island, but the UK version, not the US version. And I've only seen the first season and half of the third one. And the third one's really good so far, I think. But whenever they talk about, like, oh, you have to get grafting, that's what reminded me of Chris Harrison's speech, where it's like, grafting. Oh, you need to, it means like you need to kind of like put the work in to like make somebody choose you, right? That like,
ooh, skin graft.
In their version, it's not as much making out necessarily, but it's like, oh, you have to talk to somebody and like try to either make it obvious that you might like them or that you want them to pick you as like just a friend or something like that.
Huh. Well, if you look back on our Instagram, we actually have a Love Island to US translator. Because I had to watch that show with the captions on and actively watch it, as opposed to my like walking back and forth doing stuff watching. So yeah, we have a lot of translators, but I didn't catch that word. I think I only watched the first and fifth.
Grafting is the word.
Grafting. Yeah. Grafting.
Right. Okay.
I just saw. I don't really know where grafting comes from. Grafting.
I don't know where like the slang developed from, but they use it on all of the like the different seasons that I've seen so far of. Huh. Love Island on UK, they all use grafting to be like this sort of like, yeah, that you're going to explicitly talk to somebody with the idea that like you're planting seeds, maybe you'll be in a relationship with them, you know?
Okay, yeah, maybe it's like a arbor botany kind of metaphor. Do they have a version of Chris Harrison on that show?
Not exactly the same. So there's the host, which is Caroline Flack, but she's not in every episode. And they have a narrator.
Yeah. A narrator. Okay. Gotcha.
Chris Harrison doesn't do anything anymore anyway.
Hey, he called Mike Fleiss on the cell phone when Colton jumped over the fence.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Well, I haven't seen, you know, Love Island, or I don't remember them. I saw the other ones a year ago, so I don't remember. But Dylan. I know we all want to talk about Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Hannah B. first?
Can we play a clip from Dylan? Okay. Here's my thinking.
Wait, Dylan or Hannah B? Where are we?
Dylan. Okay. Dylan.
All right, you win. Okay. Hit it.
Yes. Okay, wait. I have to preface this. Everybody, when you guys have had enough of Dylan's voice, you have to go, okay, like hit the buzzer, the imaginary buzzer, and say, stop, because his voice was so grating to me. The vocal fry is out of control for a man. Now, I'm not... If there's some kind of, you know, code switch cultural aspect to a vocal fry, that's different. This is not that. I'm not making fun of men who have a, for other reasons, put on voice. This is a put on voice that
I have no
really
idea what you're talking about.
Drives me crazy. When you guys are done hearing his voice, because I have a very long clip, let me know.
Okay, ready? Caitlin, why don't you call the shots? When you're done with Dylan...
There
you
go.
Okay.
Like, serious relationship with. I like her so much. I'm cheesing really hard. Yeah. I was like super excited. I was like, hell yeah, we get to hang out more. That is what I'm like so excited about, is I feel like we get along so well.
I've talked to everybody here. I just don't see like potential for anything like actually like serious and important. I don't want to talk to anybody else.
And myself included. I couldn't stop smiling because I like Hannah.
Okay, stop.
I'm shipping.
Yeah. Yay. Perfectly
timed. I knew
we would
make it.
So you made a super cut EZR, basically. That was a cut of a lot of different things.
Yes, I...
You've actually spent his voice. Time on that.
Well, kind of.
Wow, I guess I didn't catch the vocal fry so much. I was more focused on his utter lack of playing hard to get.
Yeah.
And so now that you play that, my God, he's vocal frying up a egg.
Yeah. Not only that, but his how he makes Hannah out to be this like, wow, she's able to laugh at herself. When have you ever noticed that from Hannah? What are you talking about? He's like, he idolizes her, or what, I don't know what the word is, but he totally has her up on a pedestal, and it's insane. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, the obnoxious vocal fry.
I'm confused by... Not only Dylan, but some of the other guys had said this too, where they're like, oh, I came in really wanting to meet Hannah G. And she's super pretty, but she always kind of seems like a cardboard cutout to me. Like, what else What about her specifically making people come in to be like, this is the person I want to date?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know men?
Well, as the cis hetero representative here, a male, I mean, yeah, she's pretty, she's petite if you're into that, but she has no personality. I keep retweeting my tweet when she did the rap at the end of that one episode.
Oh boy.
I placed it over an Ice Cube song and put it on Twitter. And I keep retweeting it because to me it's so representative. What you just said, Caitlin, she's a cardboard cutout. When she's doing that little rap thing, she's not doing it ironically at all. There's no hint of, what was it, not take yourself too seriously? There's no hint of that she's laughing at herself while she's doing that.
No, it seemed like she was doing it very seriously, like, I'm good at this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the dad,
this is my secret talent. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The best part about Bachelor in Paradise, to me personally, is that a lot of the runner-ups are runner-ups purely on attractiveness. And they would not have gotten that far based on their personality. So sometimes all the best looking people are there that just don't have much substance. So that makes a very interesting Bachelor in Paradise. So yeah, we've seen people where everyone is just after this one person. And as a viewer, you know, the beautiful faces kind of fall flat on TV. So you're kind of like, everyone's pretty. What's the big deal? But there are these magnetic people that when they walk down the stairs, everyone's like, what? Like, we've seen it with Dean, which we were like totally shocked
about. I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about, EZR.
Who am I talking about?
Leo.
Oh, you know, personally, no one likes him except me. But Tana G, no, I'm not talking about him. But Tana G, Dean, Danielle from Ben Higgins season, and even someone like Ari, people who come in second because they're just not that interesting, but the lead on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette wants to advance them just because they want to get them in the fantasy suite and then be done with them and go on to their marriage.
The third slot, really, you get three fantasy suites. The third slot definitely should be someone you just want to have sex with. Oh, did I just vocal fry there? I ran out of air. Can we talk about Hannah B? We got to talk about how she reacted to Demi's reveal that she's sexually fluid.
Pansexual. It's called, it has a word. And then why did no one say it?
Okay, fine. But Hannah, who is our, you know, evangelical lightning rod, the look she gave her, of course, it could have been edited that way, but the look she gave her, I thought to myself, like, what if you're a young gay person in Alabama and you see that? Those are kind of signals that you get through television that really show us that we haven't come very far. You know, Hannah B was all geared up to cheer and laugh and hug over, oh, who are you dating? And then to find out that Demi was dating another woman, just put that to an abrupt halt.
Yeah, I was curious about the fact that they had that conversation on the show at all, that it seemed like this very staged thing to be like, let's introduce that Demi can also date women now, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, you could have done that in one of those like direct to camera kind of things too, right? Like you could have just been Demi talking about, oh, I've also started dating people who are not men, and like that's an option for me now too, instead of having this conversation with Hannah. So I didn't really get why they did it that way.
It almost made me just a little upset that we had to really go back and rehash all this stuff from Hannah B's season. Because, I mean, we talked exhaustively about religion and sex and all that. And then here we are, the first few scenes of the new season, and we have to talk about it again.
It's a setup for something that we heard is going to happen. So they show a lot of clips of it.
Yeah, but they've already shown it on air.
Yeah, like you said, it's a it's completely like contrived so that you kind of have this footing when whatever happens.
Yeah, they showed it in a preview. So
they do show it, right?
Yeah. Hannah B, if you did in fact go cold when she said that, it wasn't just spliced together. Shame on you.
I didn't see the face. I didn't notice the face, but her words were positive.
Well, they were through clenched teeth.
I guess I didn't read that. Yeah.
She seemed a little slow to respond when I was watching it. Demi sort of says, like, it's a woman I've been dating. And then Hannah's pauses for a beat and is like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to go. swings her arm. Another thing we talked exhaustively about last season was Luke's dog whistling, uncomfortably large cross necklace that I kept bringing up. Did you notice that Jane was wearing a gold chain Star of David? Kind of an interesting twist on that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And Hannah G is wearing a cross, but it's comfortably small. So I won't say anything more about it than that. Okay, what's next?
Can we talk about John Paul Jones?
Yeah.
Can we?
I feel like I was excited to see that he was on this show because he always seemed like he needed more airtime. And I really enjoyed the taco vomiting scene, which sounds like a weird thing to say. I loved watching that guy throw up on TV, but it was really funny to me.
I never thought about it that way. That was a very pleasant throw up.
So what was the deal? Why did he threw up because he didn't?
She put hot sauce on the taco.
Hot sauce? That's it? Hot sauce?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe he has a really sensitive stomach, or it also could have been that he was drinking a lot and then like ate a spicy thing and it just didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice that he's had his redemption, I guess. I mean, there was all the memes going on early in the last season were of course him being a serial killer because he just came across that way. And
well,
like,
then everyone
watching
grew to love him.
The shootings that have happened. I mean, there's shootings every day here in America, but obviously the two real visible ones this last weekend. I wasn't looking forward to talking about serial killers anymore. It's not funny anymore. So it's nice that we have something else to talk about, him being this like goofy.
If I were on Paradise, I know we always kind of do this. He's my pick. Yeah. You know who my favorites are, Craig, but just so everyone, Katie, Tayshia, JPJ. Mm-hmm. Bibiana and Clay. Those are my favorites. And they are always, I might be biased when I defend them. Like, I could defend Clay.
I like Clay. Clay's cool.
Yeah,
That's what Caitlin, so John Paul Jones.
I mean, I feel like in a parallel universe, if I was on Bachelor in Paradise, I feel like he would be a dude that I would talk for sure, to be like, oh, is this a thing or is he just goofy? I think he's cute. He does seem like a real goof, but I kind of like that. I think he's like an enjoyable person to watch.
You don't feel that there's some grafting that he would have to do to kind of make himself a sexual object of affection? You can get too goofy, right? And he's got the hair. And I think he'd have to really work hard to come across as somebody that someone would want to hook up with, maybe. I don't know.
When Onyeka and they made out, what'd you think of that? Because that totally lacked any chemistry for me.
Yeah, that was wild to me because it seemed like I don't think that they like each other at all.
And that's when, I don't know, you tell me, Caitlin, what you think. But when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I would just be his friend. Like, he quickly went into friend mode in my Bachelor in Paradise.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that he rides dangerously close to the friend zone. Has to work hard to get away from it. Whereas Blake is, you know, over here and right. seemingly.
Yeah, though I don't think Blake is handsome. Like, he just seems very bland to me, and his hair kind of looks like a flat top.
Yeah, there's lots of speculation online that he's wearing he's had plugs or he's wearing a toupee or something. It seems there's just something not right about it.
Yeah, there's just something weird about the hair. Like, it just doesn't look totally right on him.
Yeah, he has a weird shape. Head. Now he is, I guess, just to give you some background on Blake, he's a survivor of a school shooting.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And his coach ran away with his mom.
Oh, right. Yeah. That I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had a good story, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Just to remind everyone who Blake was, other than the fact that he was the runner-up.
Right. When we visited his hometown, like, the mom brought the coach over to the dad's house.
Yeah, it's a very awkward kind of family reunion where they all have to be in a room. We were looking forward to it, but it wasn't as exciting because they're all pretty bland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it can give you some background of why he was in, you know, he slept around, purely consensual. He probably became a hot commodity after he was dumped.
I would ask what school shooting, but there's been so many that
in Colorado, it might have been one that got stopped immediately. I'm not sure, but I remember something. We could look it up easily, I'm sure.
Caitlin, go ahead.
No, I think where we just left it off was like, is Blake attractive or not?
Oh, okay.
I don't know other people's feelings on that.
Well, we are kind of coming up against the point where I start to get tired and my blood sugar drops. So how much more is on your list there, EZR?
That's probably all I got.
That's no, all you got?
Yeah. I explained how obnoxious Dylan is to me. That's was my whole point.
Well, we didn't actually talk about Dylan. I think we got sidetracked by other things. But poor Dylan. You know, I like Dylan. I see a lot of myself in Dylan. You know, he wears black t-shirts and...
What?
Has a 5 o'clock shadow. I'm rooting for him.
He seems like a sweet dude, but... Yeah, it is kind of weird to me that he came in hyper-focused on Hannah. It was basically like, there's no one else I would even consider as a possibility. It's only her.
That move never works. You should know that by now.
Yeah. You should come out with a playbook.
Ooh, because I love that idea.
You have to have this kind of Hannah... You have to have Hannah G's strategy.
Right.
Make out with everybody. Get a rose, especially the day before you don't have
a... Sit back. Play hard to get until someone gives you a single compliment, then make out with everyone.
Make out with everyone who wants to make out with you first.
Make out with everyone who gives you a compliment. There you go.
She was going to make out with Blake anyway. It was a funny little like exchange, like a, you know, almost like it was very medieval formality. Like, first give me this, you know, boar's head and then you may enter my kingdom. Like, it was very like, it was a weird, like, she's like,
Your dress. Well, there's that anticipation. They've been talking for a long time. If you know you're going to make out with somebody, like, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of barrier, distance, or I don't know. But then you finally get to see the person and make out. That's kind of cute.
You just said it was annoying. You just give a compliment and then you get to make out and now you're like, it was cute.
Well, I wasn't. Okay. You called me on that. I mean, it was strange. She would go from, like, expressionless to smile. You could see it happen as the compliment was coming out of someone's mouth.
What we were talking about with the normally the sought after person has, other than the attractiveness, it has high sexuality like component to them. Like, everyone loved this one named Daniela who was sexually sought after. But I don't know if Tana G is that person.
Yeah,
she's like the Mary type.
Yeah, she just doesn't come across as all that primal sexual way.
I guess the last thing on my list I don't like, but I'm interested in calling, instead of saying here in Mexico, they always call it paradise.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating me because it's the same thing as calling it the mansion as opposed to LA.
Yeah.
It's kind of creating their own universe.
It's making Mexico invisible, which is problematic.
Right. But when they do it for the mansion, they do the same thing. And I think because they do it for both, I can level them and say that they're doing it so that even if you're there, you're not there unless you're there. You know, have to be part of their universe to be there. Like, you can't just go to the beach in Nayarit and say, I'm in paradise, I'm where the bachelor people are. No, you have to be on paradise. So they definitely have this hierarchy that they're always running and I'm always very conscious of. And I think it's kind of disgusting because, as we see, they exclude people when they want. They're rude to people when they want for no reason. They just decide that they're the in crowd and someone else is the out crowd. And so it becomes this thing where, you know, it becomes, like we said before, this is not what my high school was like, but this is what high school movies are like.
Right.
So Blake knew when he was out and tried to get back in because he was in when he walked in. So I think it kind of goes in with all that.
My head is spinning with all those ins and outs.
Quote in and out. Then I would do that.
We didn't talk about this yet, and it does feel like a little like I'm picking on Hannah G, but whose favorite food is a charcuterie board?
Me? Sorry.
I was like, I like them, but if somebody was like, what's your favorite food? I don't think I'd be like, a charcuterie board. And then Blake said, me too. Like, it was definitely Austin's favorite food.
I guess when you think of favorite food, that's not what comes to your mind, but that's what I always want to say, a cheese board, a charcuterie board, and like bread, like hard bread. But if someone was like, I've said this to other people before, but if I was on like, you know, last meal, desert island type thing, that's what I would want to eat forever. I could eat a salami and cheese sandwich for the rest of my life and not care.
But I feel like that's a much more normal sounding answer to be like a salami and cheese sandwich than being like, I would like an artfully displayed board, please.
You're right in terms of it being a weird thing to say, but I, when she said it, I was like, finally, the stigma is gone. I can say then.
Do you think that it's actually Blake's favorite food, or that he just said yes to be like, we have so much in common?
He probably didn't even know what it was.
Well, to be fair, I didn't really know what it was.
What?
I know what a cheese board is, but a charcuterie board?
It's just the same thing except meats. Salamied, dried, aged dried meats.
Well, if you and I were on a date and you said my favorite food was a charcuterie board, I would probably do what Blake did and just nod and smile.
Me too. I love charcuterie boards.
I like macaroni and tuna. That's my favorite.
Ew.
See, exactly.
Like I can't a casserole? Say that.
You would walk out of the date. So I'm going to just say, charcuterie board. You got it.
Yeah. Well, it does. That's a great thing to answer. I think now that you're making me think about it, Caitlin, that's a great thing to answer because it answers so much. If you say charcuterie board, that means I instantly know the kinds of bars you like to go to, the kinds of places you like to hang out at. Whereas if you say macaroni and tuna, I'm like, oh, so you like staying in on a Saturday night and making disgusting casserole? No, thanks.
So your favorite bar is your grandma's house.
Yeah. It brings a lot of connotation with it if you say that. Whereas pizza has so many variations. I'm like, I don't know where you're going.
Yeah, you're making me rethink my criticism of this because it is like it tells you more about what she likes to do than just saying something like pizza.
Wow, that's keen insight.
At the very least, I'm so glad I can now say that because I was like, yes, like in very, very subconsciously, I was like, finally, my world is different. You know, my world is opened up to be able to say, cheese board, that's it. Bring me a cheese board and a charcuterie board. That's all.
Oh, boy.
Since you talked about the throwing up and the spiciness and the tacos, I will make a food drop for you.
Okay.
For us. But that's I'm glad good. You're bringing up all these things that we didn't. I feel like we don't have time with our heady mind things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm focused immediately on the foods that they are talking about and eating and then vomiting.
Yeah. I did love the vomiting, though. Any vomiting is out, I'm a big fan of. I'm like, good for him. Not
oh, man.
It was a good vomit.
It was enjoyable, especially to me, because of how often people would be like, oh, my God, are you okay? And he's like, I'm good. Vomits again. I'm good.
The black bar that they had to show.
Yeah, they black barred it.
Used in the worst ways, and I want to, but I'm thinking about it still. You definitely do not want people around you when you're vomiting. And he took it in stride because they were like, I feel so bad. He's like, please go away. By saying, I'm good, go away. I'm fine. They're like, I feel so bad. Shut up.
Well, what a great way to end. Caitlin, thank you. That was wonderful. All right. Well, we did it. We made it through the first episode of the season of Bachelor in Paradise.
And credits are rolling.
Credits. Oh, on the Hulu, on our unofficial sponsor Hulu. Perfect timing. Look at that. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. No one follows us on Facebook, but it's there if you need it.
Facebook is dead.
Long live Facebook. So, Caitlin, great having you. We will see you next week, Caitlin, and EZR, of course. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.